Hi, this is Anthony Turner on Business Success Radio. Today, my guest is Andrew Jobling, who's described as an unlikely athlete and an accidental author. Andrew played professional football in Australia and has been a leading wellness professional for almost 30 years and is best-selling author of 6 books to date. And his message is very, very simple. You can do it no matter how unlikely it may seem. Andrew, welcome to Business Success Radio.
Okay, Anthony, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks, mate. And I love the new book. I've just, and thank you for sending it through to me. Kicking On, which is the new book. Unlikely, Irrational, Unreasonable. Do it anyway.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about how this book came to be.
Well, firstly, I want to thank you for your feedback too that you gave me earlier. You were one of the first people to read it too, by the way. I guess this is, my whole journey as I look back over my life, and I played professional football, as you mentioned, with St Kilda. And I was, at the time, it was one of those random decisions, and my life is littered with random decisions where I thought, oh yeah, I want to be famous. I'm going to play football. I'm going to be the best. You know, I think a lot of kids, think it and say it, but very few of them actually follow through with it. And I think a big thing is obviously it's a lack of belief or whatever. And I've always just been naive enough to think, well, you know, I may not be suited and I may not be probably the person that you would say, hey, that guy's going to be a professional footballer. But I just decided to do it and I got to work and, you know, I laugh and I joke that I was pretty skinny and I was a bit of a sook and I wasn't that talented yet. I had a dream and a desire to play football at the highest level. So at 16, I was invited to come and train at St Kilda, and I spent 7 years playing professional football, which was a wonderful memory that I have. I guess it just my life from there, again, as I mentioned earlier, has sort of been littered with these spontaneous decisions and sort of almost illogical actions that I took that led me into the personal training and health and fitness industry. It led me into purchasing a cafe, which is a story that, you know, I'll tell you one day. You'll need a box of tissues with that one. And then to lead me to a decision, a totally illogical, and why I put on the cover of the book, unlikely, irrational, unreasonable, do it anyways, because I made a decision at a time in my life which was totally irrational, illogical and unreasonable to write a book, because at the time, you know, I was working 7 days a week in 2 businesses. I had no time. I was an ex-footballer. I was not a reader. I was not an, writing a book had never been something that I had considered until that decision. And I wrote a book, which, in fact, I wrote 2 books, which became bestsellers, and that sort of sparked this passion to become an author. Now, yeah, as you mentioned, Anthony, I've got 6. And Kicking On really is, as I look back, I thought, you know what, there's some important lessons there around going for a dream and not letting logic be the determining factor, which I think for a lot of people, they analyze things way too much, weigh up the pros and cons, and in most cases talk themselves out of, you know, success in whatever it might be, whether it's sporting success or whether it's business success or whether it's, you know, writing books. I work with a lot of authors now, and the reason why most of them will never be published is because they talk themselves out of it. So, yeah,
it's really a sad truth, isn't it? It is that how a lot of people, and I see it a lot in the business world, that people have got great ideas, they've got great concepts, they've got great passion in the beginning for something. Somewhere along the way, it gets a bit too hard and they just sort of, what's the saying? They snap victory from the jaws of failure snap failure from the jaws of victory, you know, by themselves. It's interesting your title, Kicking On. I mean, that's obviously a fairly Australian term, you know, but some people may not really understand what it means. Could you maybe explain that for us?
Yeah, well, Kicking On is very colloquial Australian. It's a, you know, a bit of a slang, I guess. Kicking On, I remember as a kid, you know, as a teenager or when you're younger and, you're out with mates and, you know, some of them, you go home and you go up the next day and they kicked on till, you know, 3 or 4 in the morning sort of thing, or kicking on when, you know, you might have a friend that you're at school with who you never really thought would amount to anything, and then you sort of hear about them 20 years later, and they've created some incredible success in their life, and you sort of describe them as having kicked on in life. So kicking on for the purposes of the book, I used it because obviously it's a play on words, because of my football career, but also because I want people to maybe use it as something that just helps them to make different decisions and not necessarily let their circumstances dictate their choices, but go, do you know what? If I follow a few simple principles and if I focus on what I want and I do things that, you know, as you mentioned, Anthony, most people don't do, and that's work on my belief and work on consistency and work on the right actions and the right habits and get a bit uncomfortable and persist, then I too can kick on in life. And that's sort of where the title came from. I want to keep it short, sharp and to the point, and I want it to have a pretty important meaning. So yeah, I'm encouraging everyone to kick on.
Yeah, look, Andrew, having read the book, in my opinion, it actually fulfills that aim because, and I love the way that you've got key questions and action steps after each of the chapters in the book to actually help people think about, what it is that they can do relating to the particular topic that you've been talking about. A couple of things that you mentioned before was, you know, sort of the being a bit of a sook as a kid and everything else. Do you think, this concept of people not going or not kicking on and not getting the success that they really deserve is based around the conditioning or the belief systems of those childhoods, sook, mama's boy? I remember the picture of you doing the ironing on your little ironing board and things like
thanks
that.
Thanks for sharing that one, mate.
That's all right, mate. It's in the book, so people are going to see it anyway. Yeah. But with those things, do you think those conditions actually are the what keep people locked in concrete into those spaces?
Yeah, look, I think it's part of it, but I think we can blame our parents for so long, right? And, and I think what we tend to do is, yes, I absolutely believe conditioning is a big part of what we believe of ourselves and what we then, because as you know, it's all about what you believe. You'll only do something you believe you can do. If you don't believe you can do it, you'll never even get started in the first place. So belief is a big one. And if you're told as a kid, you're no good, you can't do that, be careful, play it safe, all the things that happen, you will get a conditioning, a belief system that might stop you. But you can't use that forever because you can change your conditioning. And if you really want something, then you've got to identify what your self-talk is and you've got to change it, because that's just an excuse for a lot of people. Oh yeah, but you don't understand the way I was brought up. Well, that's past and you can change that. So kicking on is about going, okay, well, up until this point, I'm not living the life I want and if we're smart, we can look back and go, do you know what? There were things that were said to me or things that happened in my life that created a belief system, but that doesn't need to define me. And I mean, the saying that, it's a common saying, is your past is not your future, is a very apt one, because, and again, whether you've had a business that is struggling for whatever reason for a year or 2 years, or if your relationship's struggling or your health is failing, you can change that by changing your self-talk, working on your belief systems. And once you do that and then taking positive action, everything will change. So it does have an impact. There's no doubt about it, but I don't let people get away with that anymore. You can't just say, oh yeah, but it's not fair because, I had a tough upbringing. Well, change it. You're not locked in. You're not stuck. We're not a tree. You can move. So it's my thoughts around that.
Yeah, no, look, I agree. I mean, we've all had issues in our lives and obstacles and challenges to overcome. I mean, that's what life is about, is helping us grow. So I think, I like the fact that you agree on the sense that, hey, listen, your past is your past, but you can choose what your future is going to be. But there's no easy road, and I think throughout the book you quite admirably demonstrate some of the struggles that you went through, and I like one of the chapters particularly, Success Comes After Work. So, you know, maybe you'd like to give a bit more of an insight into the work that came into your football success, so that, you know, and then in other areas of your life.
Oh, absolutely. And I think the other thing I said in that same chapter was, so success only ever comes after work, but once you create the success, the work to get there never seems so bad. And like, I just remember when I started St Kilda, I was, you know, as I said, I was not prepared. I was not prepared mentally or physically for what I was about to endure. And it was hard work. Like, you know, the word that I used to describe, the one word I used to describe 7 years at St Kilda is pain. You know, like there was pain of training, pain of, you know, getting carried off on a stretcher, pain of abuse, pain of ridicule, pain. There's a lot of pain involved. But at the age of 17, I think it was 17 or 18, I can't remember, I got a chance to play my first senior game. It was the last game of the 1983 season, I believe.
And against Collingwood, I think, wasn't it?
Against Collingwood at Victoria Park, which was not a welcoming environment, that's for sure. And so I really thought, yeah, my career's launched. I'm off. I'm running. It's all going to happen for me now. And so I went through the following pre-season. I was fit. I was ready. And I sat there on the Thursday night before the first game, sitting there expectantly waiting to be selected in the team, and I wasn't. And I, you know, it wasn't that much of a setback. I thought, okay, well, I'm just going to play well, and I did. And week after week after week, I played in the reserves, and I kept getting passed up for selection time and time and time again. So, you know, my whole attitude at the time was, well, I've just got to keep showing up. I've just got to keep doing the work. I've just got to keep improving and getting better and getting out of my comfort zone. And it turned out that I didn't get selected that whole year. And it was halfway through the following year that I finally got my second game. And, you know, so that was some 20 months later after that first senior game that I got selected. And, you know, the credit I give that is certainly not ability. It was just persistence and a willingness to keep going. And from that time, that first game, and I'm glad and grateful for the 20 months because it prepared me in a lot of ways, to be successful, you know, and that game, that second game was really the launching pad for when, you know, I had two really good years at St Kilda where, you know, I played a vast majority of my games and got a lot of acknowledgement and recognition and some really good football. And at the end of the day, I look, you know, it's easy to get carried away with success. It's easy to get carried away with where you are, you know, when you create some success. And I think when you get to a successful point in life, you sit back and think you've made it. That's when, and you lose sight of the work that it took to get there. Then that's a mistake, which I mean, obviously I made and I talk about it further in the book. But you know, just anything you want in life is going to take work and it's not going to be easy and you've got to hang in there. But the rewards are so worth the effort. And even though whilst you're in the fight or in the process, it seems there are times when you want to give up and times you never think you're going to make it and you really question, is it worth it? You know, I can say absolutely, absolutely, you know, whether it's writing a book or being playing senior footy or some other things that I've been able to achieve, I look back and go, I'm so glad that I did the work and I kept going when most people obviously toss it in. And you know, the things that I can now talk about and share with people is that the work, it's just part of the process. You know, you can't avoid it. You can't shortcut it. You've got to do it. And when you do and you resign yourself to the fact that, well, this is what it takes, then it actually becomes enjoyable because you know it's leading you to something that will be amazing. So, yeah.
Yeah, and the next chapter after that is the one that interested me, which was you don't always get what you want, but you get what you expected.
Mm.
And, you know, just in hearing you talk then, I'm hearing the same thing, is that, you know, you may want X or Y and everything else, but, it's that inner voice, that inner play, that inner conditioning stuff that's, you know, is what you really expect that determines what the outcome really is, not the actual activity.
Yes. That's so true. And I expected, I think in that chapter I talked about, ended up on a Scanlon's footy card, which was, you know, that was something I sort of visualized. I dreamed about, I guess what all kids dream about, taking a spectacular mark or doing something glamorous. But the thing is, I never really expected that of myself. You know, I always thought that I was a bit of a battler. That was my expectation for myself. So when I, when that footy card finally arrived, it was pretty devastating. And there's a picture of it in the book. I don't think I'll share it on the radio, mate, because that might stop people going out and buying the book. So
people can see it.
But it's interesting when you look at the footy card, you actually see a picture of what I really expected of myself. Not what I wanted, but what I expected. And it's so true. Like, we want success. We want fame. We want to be lean, fit, and healthy. We want great relationships, but very few of us actually expect that that's what we're going to get. So expectancy is such a powerful thing that will really direct your life. And in terms of kicking on, I'd say to people, it's just as easy to expect wild success as it is to expect mediocrity. So why not just expect a massive success?
Have you found some formulas within the work that you do? And I know you did a lot of work in gym work and helping people, you know, training and everything else, personal training, all those sorts of things. Did you find ways or tools to actually help people change those expectancies?
There's a process. Like, it is a formula, as you say, Anthony. The first step in the formula is identifying the current self-talk, and where it's leading, what are the doubts, fears, and things that we're currently expecting. So I say to people, you know, particularly people that are wanting to write a book, I ask them, so what's your fear? What's your doubt? What are you worried about? And they go, oh, I don't know if I'm good enough. And I just say to them, well, listen, if that's your belief, if you're saying to yourself, I'm not good enough, what sort of result are you going to get? Or we get the typical one that I hear all the time, I'm a procrastinator. And, I don't know how many people would probably say that, and even people listening to this are saying, I'm a procrastinator. Well, you don't want to be saying that to yourself because every time you say I'm a procrastinator, by definition, what does a procrastinator do? They procrastinate. So therefore, if you label yourself or expect that you're a procrastinator, then you will procrastinate. That's what a procrastinator does. So I get people to list all of their doubts and worries and fears and concerns, and then I say, okay, so now let's start thinking about what we actually want. So I ask them, do you want to be a procrastinator? They go, no. And I say, well, what do you want? And I say, they'll say, well, I want to act. I want to take action. I want to be proactive. Okay, well, let's start saying that. So it's all about a whole reprogramming process of looking at what you're currently expecting and saying to yourself and changing it to actually what you want and then start affirming and practicing. So that's the first step. I mean, it's the first step in the process is you've got to change your self-talk. The second thing is you've got to take action. And, you know, we've got a lot of people that affirm and they meditate and they read and they do all this amazing stuff, but never take action. And expectancy and confidence and belief will come through two things. Number one is the right self-talk followed up with consistent daily action. And once you get those two together, things changed incredibly, dramatically.
Yeah, I remember speaking to a guy called John D. Martini, which many people would know as one of the people in The Secret, and he's a chiropractor out of the States, been on the speaking self-development circuit for quite some time. And, one of the comments that I always remember for him was, there's a lot of talk about the law of attraction. And a lot of that is saying, you know, positive thoughts, positive thoughts, positive thoughts. But he said in all of those books, there is one point that is always missing, and that's the point of action. You've got to get off your butt and do something about it.
I know. This is crazy. You know, that whole secret, you know, it's a great, good message, but, yeah, there's a few missing things. Like, you know, people that just start affirming unexpected checks arrive in the mail. Well, those checks are not just going to arrive in the mail. You actually got to do something to earn the check. And, you know, so... You can't, we wish there was an easy, we're looking for a quick fix, and that's why we go out and buy a lot of those books, and because we're hoping for an easy answer. There's no easy answer there. It's hard. What is hard is you know, changing your self-talk is hard. And every day getting up and looking at yourself in the mirror and saying, I am good enough, I can do it, I'm an action taker, I'm successful, that's hard when your belief is that no, you're not. And what's also hard is consistently doing things that you don't always feel like doing. How I teach people with writing a book is to just write every single day whether you feel like it or not, even if it's only one word. Just if you don't create a habit, if you don't create a positive habit, you'll by default, you'll create a habit which will lead you somewhere where you don't want to be. So where what people don't realize is they're creating habits all day, every day with choices that they make, whether it's an active and deliberate choice to do something or by a choice not to do something, they're creating a habit. So, yeah, this is really the bottom line, Anthony, is with anything. You've got to change your expectation, change your thinking and get into positive and consistent action. That's it, really. I mean, there's not much more to it.
Absolutely. No, I totally agree with that. One of the things that interested me in the book, and it's not something that I've ever thought of as a principle, but you talk about the Everest principle and how, you know, most people who die on Everest actually die on the way down, not on the way up, which got me thinking and reading the chapter in the book really got me thinking because what you're talking about there is what happens next?
Yep.
Maybe you could explain that a little bit for the listeners.
Yeah, sure. Well, I mean, the most obvious example is someone that's losing weight for an event. You know, you see people, you know, and as a trainer, I used to get women coming in. It's a wedding, my wedding, or it's Derby Day, or it's we're going on a holiday and I need to lose weight. And they work hard, they lose weight for that particular event, but they haven't set another goal and they put it all back on. I mean, you hear it time and time again, people that set a goal and then achieve that goal, and because they haven't set another goal, then everything stops. It might be a financial goal, again, a business goal, and then you see businesses go through, I mean, you would see it all the time, Anthony, businesses go through these cycles of, they go through a peak period and then they go into a flat spot, and the reason why they go into the flat spot is because they haven't set the goal beyond the goal. And the Everest principle was something that I heard, and I saw it in my own, you know, looking back, I can see it clear as day in my career at St Kilda. When it came to an end, which again I won't spoil the surprise, but we can read that with another box of tissues. But you know, the key is with the Everest principle is those climbers that died on the way down, they'd set the goal to get to the top of the mountain, but they never set the goal to get back down again. And that's the key in life. And that's why I talk a lot about having a big picture, having a vision, having something that we're working towards so that once you achieve one goal, you've got to then set another goal to keep moving towards your vision. So the only way to keep moving forward is keep setting goals and keep looking beyond the next, you know, the next, road stop or road mark, keep moving forward.
Yeah, it's very similar to a process of that I know that I've used in workshops and stuff like that, and a number of people that I know now use it. Is, you know, you've got your now, whatever your now is, and you've got a goal in the future. You know, you set your stepping stones to get to the goal, but once you get to the goal, that becomes your new now, and then you've got to ask yourself the question, what's next?
What's next? Exactly. We've got to always be asking what's next. Always. Yeah. Otherwise, that's where people get stuck in life. Because they've just stopped thinking about what's next and they're just now living day to day. And yeah, it's such a critical one. So, you know, I always encourage people, yeah, set a goal, but then always think, well, what's going to come next? What's my big picture? Where am I heading to? What do I want? How do I want my life to look?
One of the other key things you talk about in the book is living with passion. And that seems to be something that resonates across the book is, you know, doing what you're passionate about, what you're keen to do, rather than just doing what you feel obligated to do. How important is that passion thing? I mean, I know it's important to you, but in terms of the people you've worked with, how important is it?
Oh, well, I mean, I think if you're not passionate and you don't have a purpose, then you, I don't know, I just don't know why we're here then. I mean, you look around and I just see it all the time. I just see people that, you know, they're just dragging their heels. They're just dragging through every day. They've lost that passion. You know, I don't know why. It maybe got beaten out of them, or they've just fallen into a rut. And when you lose passion, then you lose sight of the important things. I really think, you know, well, like people that are passionate about life look after their health. People that aren't, don't. People that are passionate about their life, treat people well and build strong relationships. People that don't have passion don't care. You know, they're very self-absorbed. People that have passion for their business will be successful. I mean, again, you'll see this. People that have passion in their business will build a successful business because passion is magnetic. Passion is irresistible. When you see someone that's passionate about something, all of a sudden you're interested. You want to know more. Tell me more. It excites you. It energizes you. So that passion, I just think we've all got it, but we may have lost sight of it. So, you know, I really want to encourage people to work out what they love, what gives them purpose, and just follow it. You know, I just think, like, again, life's just too short to not be passionate about and love everything that you're doing. And, you know, I talk a lot about in the book about just never been willing to put up with something that I'm not passionate about or I'm not enjoying. You know, you either find a way to enjoy it and be passionate about it, or you go and find something you can be passionate about. Again, there's no excuse for going, oh yeah, but I don't like my job. Well, find a new one. But I'm not making enough money. Go out and look at ways to diversify your income. Get passionate. I'm not very communicating this very well, but you know, it's just we all have things about in our life that we love to do and love to be and just go and do that stuff more. That's my advice, is just find that passion and really live in there.
And even if that stuff you're passionate about is not something that's going to generate a lot of income, it actually provides that sense of passion across other areas of your life, in my experience.
Oh, exactly. Well, I gave up. When I left St Kilda, I went and played amateur footy. I thought I was only going to be there for 1 year, but I stayed there for 12 because I loved it. I'd found my passion for the sport again, and it wasn't about money. You know, it wasn't about money. I mean, I could have gone and made money playing football for the next 12 years. I could have played, you know, I could have gone to another league club. I could have gone to at the time it was VFA club, now it's VFL club. I could have made good money. I could have gone to a local district club and got paid. You know, I could have done that easily, but I thought, no, well, one of the reasons why I think I probably lost the passion for the sport was because of the money and became a job rather than a choice. And I think when you do something for money, often you lose the passion, as I did with my personal training career. When you do it and you don't do it for money, you'll stay passionate about it. And so, I mean, obviously, if you're in business, one of the things you want to do is make money, but you don't want that to be the only thing.
Yeah. One of the other things you talk about in the book is that spontaneity to recognize an opportunity when it's there and just go for it. And probably one of the classic examples of that, and I won't give away any of the details, but was when you're in the cafe and sort of like, what was it, 100 grand down or something, and you make the decision to write a book.
Oh, no, crazy. this is where I think it's all about intuition and we're all intuitive beings, yet most of us don't listen to our intuition. And I've been someone that's always, I've always just thought, why not give it a go? I don't know if I could do it, but why not give it a go anyway? And that was just like, the timing was horrendous. It was shocking timing. I mean, the worst time to make a decision to start a new project, and certainly one that I had no experience in. But there was just something in me that said, you're going to write a book. And I took notice. And that was, and I still say to this day, from a career point of view, that's the best decision I've ever made, because that's the decision that's had the biggest impact on my business, on my life, on my choices, on my income, on all sorts of things. So, yeah, I try to encourage spontaneity, and I know for a lot of people that's quite a scary word because they have to analyze things and understand them and have all the answers before they get started. And I think, well, that's a big mistake because you'll never have all the answers. And, you know, why not just give something a go? Why not? I mean, what do you got to lose? You know, it's some money, yeah, big deal. You can make money. you'll learn something, you'll get a lesson, and the best case scenario is you'll find your greatest passion, which I have done that, all through this totally illogical and spontaneous decision.
Yeah, Andrew, whilst writing a book is not necessarily everybody's pathway to, it certainly is an opportunity, isn't it? And I guess, you know, if you were talking to business people or whatever, you know, why would somebody write a book?
Well, would a business owner write a book?
Yeah.
Or why would someone? There's a myriad of reasons why you would write a book. And again, all I can talk about is my experience. Well, as a personal trainer, and I've been doing it for 15 years, I was actually looking for alternatives. I was looking to diversify my income. And I know, you know, a lot of small business owners, you know, it's their income is 100% dependent on their time. And that was the reality for me. Like, I did not earn if I didn't get out of bed at 5 a.m. and I didn't earn an income if I didn't work the hours. And after 15 years, I was over it. I was sick of the have to. And the book for me, the first thing the book did was enable me to diversify my income. It gave me another stream of income. The second thing it did was help me get my message out there. A lot of business owners, you know, that want to get their message out and get people to their business. They spend all this time and money on marketing where probably the best marketing tool is a book. You know, A, you can get your message out there. B, you can get your name out there. You know, it will give you credibility. Business owners that, you know, when you're in a business that, you know, there's probably in an industry where there's so many other people doing what you're doing, you've always got to be looking for that thing that will set you above the pack. And to say you're an author, big deal. You know, people treat authors, I don't know why, but they treat authors with respect. You know, I was looking to do more speaking and get more media sort of activity, and no one was interested in me until I was an author. And then all of a sudden, same person, same knowledge, but now I'm an author, and all of a sudden I'm getting paid speaking gigs and writing articles in national magazines and newspapers and all sorts of things. And that credibility and that exposure then obviously drove a lot more business to me in a lot of ways. So, I encourage anyone to write a book, and certainly business owners. And I think because often their story is a powerful and inspiring one, and certainly will help them in their business. If they're looking for more clients, it'll get them more clients. If they're looking to diversify their income, it'll do that. If they're looking to maybe looking at other options, or go online or do more speaking or workshops or a whole range of different things, writing a book is the platform where a lot of that stuff will happen. So, you know, I'm more than happy to talk to anyone that's sort of interested in opening to writing a book and how I might be able to help them.
Yeah, look, that's certainly one of the things that I know that you do. Maybe it's a great time to let people know how they can contact you on the website.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, everything I do is on my website, which is andrewjobling.com.au, and it's J-O-B-L-I-N-G. And on my website, obviously, all my books are available. Certainly Kicking On is there. And, you know, I have an online program for people that want to become authors. I've got a mentoring program, a 12-month mentoring program. So for people that are really seriously wanting to write, publish their book and get it out there and have it do the things they want, I can absolutely help people to do that. I'm always running events around the country. So there's an event that people can come along to. So there's a lot of stuff on the site. I also offer a free 30-minute Skype, really, for people that are interested in just having a chat about where they're at and what they'd like to do. So if they go to my site, under the banner where it says free stuff or contact, they'll be able to request a free 30-minute Skype and we can have a really good chat. So, yeah, look, I love helping people. That's why I write. I love to inspire people to maybe get up and do things that they may be a bit fearful of, and they may not necessarily believe that it's possible, but I want to encourage them to have a go at it anyway. Why not? Do it. And it's amazing what you can achieve when you just follow some basic principles and just keep persisting at it. And I really believe that I believe in unlikely success, and I love to hear stories of people who have kicked on.
Excellent. Well, all we can do, Andrew, is wish you well in your kicking on. And for those of our listeners who would like to contact Andrew, it's andrewjobling, J-O-B-L-I-N-G, .com.au. So please get in touch with Andrew and see, bring out that hidden author that's inside you, or find out a little bit more about yourself and how you can kick on in your own life. Andrew Jobling, thanks very much for being with Business Success Radio today.
Thanks, Anthony.
We trust you've enjoyed this interview and got some great tips to help with your success. If you're interested in hearing more interviews from other successful people, then join us at businesssuccessradio.com.au to access our full success library.